You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 27. Today we're going to look at three ways that you can make an eternal impact with your life. And thank you for listening to The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And I'm glad to be back. We've had a bit of a hiatus. I was traveling, and then I got bronchitis, and you can probably still hear it a little bit in my voice. I'm a little stuffy, and my chest is a bit weak still. So this show will maybe be a little bit shorter, and I appreciate your patience since there wasn't a podcast last week. Well, hey, this week we're going to talk about how to make an eternal impact with your life. You know, if you think of some of the great saints and you think about the impact that they made with the decades that they had, it's really mind-blowing. I think especially of someone like St. Francis. Think of all the thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people who have become Franciscan, the brothers, the sisters, the priests, the Third Order members, and all the good they've done, the hospitals and the missions and the sermons and the preaching and the confessions, all of those were echoes of a man's life, Saint Francis. He cooperated with God's will. He cooperated with divine grace. And God took that man's life, and just like throwing a stone into the water, ripples went out, and these ripples continue 8 centuries later. Or look at someone like Thomas Aquinas, one of my favorite saints. Here is a man who gave himself to study. He used the gifts that God had given him. He lived a pure life, a chaste life, and even today, he continues to have a profound impact in Catholic education, in theology. People are still reading and learning and growing closer to God because his writings have persevered. Same goes for St. Augustine or the Little Flower or even St. Clare, right? Or St. Scholastica and St. Benedict and all the saints throughout time, and even those who aren't canonized, they have made profound impacts. In fact, eternal impacts. There are more people in heaven because of them. And that's the life that you and I want to live. So today we're going to look at three ways that you can have an eternal impact. And it's not as hard as you think, right? We just look at the lives of the saints, we look at wisdom from Scripture, and we distill these three exercises to have an eternal impact. We've got a great show. We have our joke of the week, as usual, and we have our tip of the week, and our saint of the week, and our Latin word of the week. So it's going to be a great show, and let's go ahead and get started with our joke of the week. There was an old man, he was in his 70s, and he had been away from the church for decades. In fact, the last time he went to confession was in his 20s, and something moved him, and he decided that he would come back to the church and go to confession. So he went to the church, and there was no line for the confessional, so he opened the door, and he went inside. And when he got in there, he realized there was this giant lazy boy that had, like, the massage technology in it. So he sat down, and the chair began to massage his body and relax him, and he liked that. And then he looked over to the left, and he saw a tap handle coming out of the wall with a pint glass. So he held the pint glass underneath the tap and pulled it, and cold, fresh beer came out into his pint glass. And then on his right side, he noticed there was a humidor, and it was full of great cigars, Cuban cigars, Dominican cigars. So he opened the humidor and pulled one out, and he lit the cigar, and he waited for Father. And sure enough, the door slid open, and he said, "Oh, Father," he's like, I've been away from confession for a long time. I'm a little nervous, but I've got to say, I really like the changes that have happened in the Catholic Church since the 60s. Y'all have made it really comfortable, and there's a nice chair and a massage and the beer and the cigar, just over the top. Thank you so much, Father. And Father said, that's because you're in my side. Now get out. All right. A good a priest told me that joke, and I've gotten a lot of good laughs from it ever since. Well, hey, just a couple general announcements. I got back safely from the Denver Catholic Biblical School, where I received the Servant of the Word Award, and it was a wonderful time. There's about 900 students up there, all Catholics, and they're studying the scriptures, and it was a wonderful group of people. It's very refreshing to be around so many Catholics who know the Bible and who have studied scripture, and I was really impressed with their instructors and the students. And for all those listening who are part of the Denver Biblical School, thank you so much. I loved being there, and thank you for the award, and I hope to be back there. We had some great talks. I gave a talk on how we can use the Old Testament to evangelize and to do apologetics, and we talked about St. Paul and how his theology is integral to understanding all the controversial Catholic doctrines, and then I gave a presentation on why the Catholic Church is Roman for my book, The Eternal City. And it was great. I came home refreshed. I was tired, but I was mentally and spiritually refreshed. And it was great to be there with Ben Akers and the whole team there with Father Riley. Thank you so much for the good time. And then when I got back, of course, I got sick. I got this bronchitis. And also in news, even though I was sick, we did get the certificate in theology announced with the new St. Thomas Institute. And I'm really excited about that. Basically, we have 13 modules that the members go through to earn their certificate in theology. So, you know, the modules are like intro to Thomas Aquinas, the existence of God, atheism, Trinitarian theology, creation, human salvation, virtue, vice, the passions, the structure of the soul, Christology, Mariology, which is study of Mary, the sacraments, the Eucharistic theology of Thomas Aquinas, and eschatology, which is a study of the end times, the last thing. So our certificate goes through all those topics in depth with the help of St. Thomas Aquinas, and it's really exciting. The members are really enthusiastic, and the response has been great. So thanks for everyone who's written, and it's not too late. If you want to earn a certificate in theology, go to newstthomas.com, newstthomas.com, and sign up and join the theological party. Okay. Our tip of the week this week is using your rosary for different kinds of prayer. Now, most of us know that you can use your rosary to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which is a great practice, especially if you can pray that every day at 3 p.m. in honor of the mercy of God and asking for God to pour out his mercy on this world, because we all need mercy. We all need God's mercy. And we all need to be reminded that God loves us. But you can also use your rosary for other devotional purposes. And one of the things that I like to do with my beads, I keep them in my pocket during the day, is I get them out, and I've talked about this before on this show, on this podcast, being grateful and going through the things that you are thankful for and thanking God. I really believe that's a key to happiness in this life and a key to joy and peace, because it reminds us of all the great things God is doing for us. And I firmly believe that God is always doing great things for us, because God always loves us, and he always wants us to be saved. He always wants us to be in heaven with him forever. And so we can always be grateful for that. And God manifests his love for us in our lives in a multitude of ways. And so you can take your beads out and maybe just start with a decade, the first 10 beads, and think of 10 things that God is doing in your life that is good. Right? And then maybe go all the way around. And maybe you at the Our Father bead, you know, the big bead or the bead that's, you know, separated off from the decades, maybe on that one you stop there and you say a glory be, or you say thank you, Father, or something like that. And then you go on and do 10 more things that you're grateful for, 10 more things that God's doing in your life, 10 more good and noble things, or thanking him for something he's delivered you from. And it doesn't have to be fancy. You can just be like, God, thank you for the Eucharist. Thank you that I was able to receive the Eucharist yesterday. God, thank you that I was able to go to confession. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for taking away those sins. Thank you for my spouse. And just around and around and around. So you can use the rosary beads not only to pray the Hail Mary and the rosary, which I think you should every single day. I've talked about that before, rosary every day, integral to our lives as Christians, but also to be thankful. Now, another thing you can do with the rosary beads is that you can use each bead for a prayer intention for a person. So again, you have your 10 beads there in a decade. You know, for the first one, pray for your father. And then go to the next bead and pray for your mother. And then for your sister. And then just use the beads to count off people you need to pray for. You can actually combine this with praying the rosary, but sometimes that's all too much to think about. And this is a great way to move your will to actually pray and intercede for other people. Even if you're not ordained a priest, you still are baptized, you are still confirmed, and you are called to be an intercessor. So this is a way that you can pray for people, and by moving your hands along the beads, it kind of helps you stay structured and pray for people. So that's just a little tip there. You can use your beads for all different kinds of things. And if there's a way that you use your beads to pray that I didn't mention here, please share it. Go to TaylorMarshall.com into the podcast and go to episode 27 and leave us a comment. Or go ahead and call us on the show. You can do that also at TaylorMarshall.com. And let us know how you use your beads to pray in ways beyond just the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the Rosary. Well, our proverb of the week comes from Proverbs 22, verse 29. It's the last verse in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. And it reads like this, quote, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men," end quote. Now, the reason I wanted to share this proverb today is because it emphasizes a need in our lives to be skillful. We need to become skillful in something in this life. If you haven't heard it already, I encourage you to check out episode 12, Why You Should Be More Creative. That podcast is not just about being creative, but acquiring skills, right? Skills in this life, because God is a creator. He's made us in his image, and he delights when we become skilled and when we do and accomplish and create things. So if you go to TaylorMarshall.com, at the top of the page, click on Weekly Podcast. That'll take you to an archive of all the podcasts we've recorded. And then go down there to number 12, Why You Should Be More Creative, and take a listen. But being skillful in this life is something that God desires because he wants us to thrive as his children. He doesn't want us to sink to the bottom of the barrel. And if you read through the Bible, beginning with Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, you see that God is calling up men and women who seem not to be skilled or not to be important, but he gives them the gifts and the talents to do something great in this world, which is going to be our topic today, our featured segment. But I think this proverb here shows us that God desires us to become skillful and stand before kings. This brings renown and glory to God's name, because those who truly serve God will return the glory back to him. They don't take the credit for themselves. They see all things coming from the merciful hand of God. So cultivate your skills. Think about, what is it that I'm good at? Where are my talents? What has God equipped me to do? And then pray about it and increase your skills. I know of a man who carves corpses for crucifixes, and he's really good at it. He's amazing. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a lawyer. Whatever you are, become skillful. Use your natural powers and then the supernatural powers that God gives you through grace and the sacraments to cultivate those skills and bring honor to him. And I also think you'll find, as I find in my own life, by cultivating these skills and by practicing, it brings satisfaction and joy to your life. We are meant to move towards a goal, towards a telos, what Thomas Aquinas and the philosophers would call teleology, moving towards a goal, towards a purpose. And if we're stagnant and if we're staying still, it's discouraging for us. So we must always be cultivating and growing to be the children of God, to fulfill God's plan for us as His kids, as His children. So there it is. Be skillful. And you can find that in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. And now let's take a look at our featured segment, three exercises to make an eternal impact with your life. Well, we recently had a family situation, a mini crisis in our family. And so we came together to pray. And of course, I've been sick. I had bronchitis. I'd been on medication. I'd been to the doctor. And I was feeling very weak. And, you know, when you're feeling sick, it's hard. You know, it affects your mental ability as well, you know, especially with when you're taking cough syrups and all those kind of things, NyQuil. I think it kind of messes with your head. At least it messes with mine. Anyway, we had this family emergency. We all came together to pray. And I was feeling just physically and mentally weak. And I put my hands out. I was sitting in a chair. And I had all the children and my wife put their hands in my hands while we prayed. And before I began to pray, I looked down and I saw all of those hands. You know, we have seven children and my wife, so that was, 16 hands jumbled up in my own hands. And just looking down and seeing that, seeing all those hands represented lives. They represented personalities and feelings and also the power of prayer and intentions, and we were united together there. And it got me thinking, you know, I thought, all of these people are under my care. All of these people look up to me. They look up to me spiritually. They look for me to provide for them. Their emotional health is tied up with my emotional health. And we prayed together, and that was a wonderful experience. And each of the kids prayed. Their own prayer, prayed for our family situation. And it was so encouraging, especially to see, you know, a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old, everyone praying for our family and praying for each other. It was awesome. You know, it really encouraged me to have my family there and our hands all joined together, all knotted together in this intercession. Well, you know, that got me thinking, how do I make an impact? My life is short. I have these children, my sons and daughters and my wife who look to me and who we pray together. How do I become a man of God for them? How do I make an impact in their life? And I thought, you know, I just don't want to make a deep impact. I want to make an eternal impact. I don't want them just to have a good memory of me. I want what God does through me in this life to continue to resonate in their lives and then in their kids and then in my great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren. When I'm long gone, that there's a continual positive impact of God's grace through these people, hopefully through more people. But I think if I could just get my own family on track and them growing and prospering in God's favor and grace, that would be awesome. You know, I once read a book, and the author made a recommendation on how to die. And it's an interesting exercise. I'm going to share it with you. Hopefully you don't think it's too morbid. But he said that you should pick a date in the future, maybe a month or a month and a half out, and don't tell anyone, but just write that down somewhere as the day of your death. You know, so choose April 15th. That's the day I'm going to die. This is just an exercise, all right? And then begin to prepare everything in your life for that death. So you're probably going to want to get all of your papers in order. If you haven't written a will, you're going to want to write a will. You're probably going to want to write letters or call up people who you care for that you've lost touch with. Perhaps there's someone that you're estranged from. You'd probably, if you knew you're going to die a month from now, you'd want to heal that relationship. You'd also want to take care of yourself spiritually. So you might start, you know, attending Mass more often. You probably are going to go to confession, hopefully at least one time, but continually as you prepare for that day of death. And you start to get your things in order and your relationships healed. And then on the night before your so-called scheduled death, you go to your children or your grandchildren or your friends and you say good night or goodbye or however. Of course, you don't tell everyone you're doing this. And you get into bed. and you close your eyes as if you're never going to wake up again, at least in this life, right? And the next morning when your eyes open, you will be alive. All of your affairs will be set in order. All your friendships will be healed. You'll be healed through the sacraments. Everything will be set up and you'll have a new life. It'll be like being resurrected, right? You'll rise again with everything in order. And then, the author says, the key is to do it again the next month, and the next month, and the next month, and then start doing it every week, every week, every week, and then every day, and every day. And he says, if you begin to live like that, you will become a great saint, because you won't let relationships, friendships die on the vine. You won't let sin creep up. You'll live a vigilant life because you're aware that your days are numbered. And that really is the mind and the heart of wisdom and prudence, to live that way. I think it's a great exercise. I've only done it once in my life. I just did that month. I picked a month out and I realized, oh, I got to update my will. Oh, I need to get my papers together in case I died so that Joy could find them. Oh, I got to make sure she has all the passwords to, different accounts and so on and so forth. And I remember that night before I so-called died or, you know, had my scheduled death, I remember going to each of my kids' rooms and giving them a kiss and just sitting there and watching them sleep and realizing how much I take it for granted that I have these beautiful little souls in my home, sleeping, growing, and it gave me an entirely new perspective on life. You know, and I probably need to go and do that exercise again, because when I woke up that next day and realized, hey, I'm still alive and everything is in order and I've been to confession, everything is set, it was a really good feeling. Okay, so besides doing that little exercise, which may seem unusual to you, and if you don't want to do it, that's fine. I think it was really helpful for myself, and maybe you should try it. I don't know. But today we're going to give three tips to make that eternal impact in your life and in the life of others. Now, the first one is to pray about everything. I think we don't pray enough about everything. I think we should pray about what computer to buy, what kind of car should I get. Where should I give my money? You should pray about that. What should I wear? What kind of clothes? I think you should pray about that. I think we should talk to God about everything in our lives, even the smallest details, because I think this will wipe out fear, because we're constantly consulting with the God of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pray over everything. And also, the more you talk to God, the more he talks back to you. You know, if we don't pray, we don't speak to him, we're not in touch with God, we're not going to hear that still, small voice. Or, even more commonly, there are all these so-called coincidences in our lives, but we miss them. We don't see God's providential hand because we're not praying about the daily details, right? What should I do with my wife on my anniversary? Where should I send my kids to school? These are the kind of things that we should pray about all the time, and we should create this habit of daily prayer. I spoke about it on previous episodes of this podcast, but get your iPhone out, put it on for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, however long you feel comfortable, and turn out the lights, get comfortable, and pray. Talk to God. Tell him about everything in your mind, everything in your heart, all your worries, and that peace will be planted in your soul like a seed, and it'll begin to sprout and grow. So the first thing to have an eternal impact in this life is you've got to be connected to him who is eternal. You alone can't make an eternal impact because you're finite. You're a creature. The only way an eternal impact can be made through you is if God does it. And the only way he's going to be able to work through you is if you are connected to him And the only way to do that is through prayer. Every single day, over every single thing, constantly in dialogue with God. And you don't have to stop every moment and even make the sign of the cross every time you address God or put your hands together or kneel down. It could be while you're driving in traffic, while you're walking down the road, even while you're in an argument with someone, you can be praying, how do I resolve this? God, show me the way. Pray, pray, pray all the time. Secondly, the second thing you need to make an eternal impact is you need a team of holy friends, of holy people. No one can do this on their own. Every great saint had helpers, supporters, friends, brothers, sisters, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. All of them were part of a community of encouragement. And don't we need that? Don't we need people who are positive, who are prayerful, who are full of joy, who don't want to see us suffer or fall down, but want to see us stand up and move on? That's what you need. That's what I need. We need a support team. We need people to hold us accountable. We need people to challenge us. And I think most of all, I think in the time that we live in, we need people to encourage us. We need people who can show us the face of God in the scriptures and in other people and say, look, you are a child of God. God loves you. He has a plan for you. Now, stand up. Let's dust our pants off. Let's keep going. You can do this. You know, for me, that number one person in my life is Joy, my awesome wife, my lovely wife. If I didn't have her, I'd be a huge mess because she is the one who constantly keeps me going, encourages me, prays for me, and always helps me see the bright side and reminds me that God loves me. I think God has placed Joy in my life to be that constant light, that candle that just leads me through life when I seem discouraged or like I can't go on. She is there to help me. And also, I'm finding my kids as they grow older are also that. My father is also a huge encouragement to me. And then I have a number of friends, like my friend Jordan Lowe and others, who encourage me. And they can see if I'm discouraged or I'm kind of losing my path. They'll say, hey, why don't we go get dinner? Or why don't we get some coffee? Or go get a beer? And to pour back in that fervor and that love of God from their own hearts into my heart. So you have to have your friends, your team. You know, I was helping one of my kids with a saint project, and they were doing Saint John Bosco, great saint. And we were looking at his early life, and early on, his mother, who I do not think was literate, trained him in his early theological education, did a great job. He received his first communion earlier than most kids, and the priest was very impressed by his knowledge of the faith, of the Christian faith, of being a Catholic, right? Think about the impact that that mother, who apparently was not formally educated, illiterate, made in her son, that little boy, John Bosco. And think about all the good that St. John Bosco did in the lives of young men and in his order and even to this day, right? And it began because there was someone on his team, originally his mom, and then other people came along as well and encouraged him and helped him along the way. So you need that team. And you might be thinking, well, Taylor, that's great. I don't have a team. I don't have a spouse. I don't have that close friend. What do I do? I think you go to Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and you ask him to give you a team. Now, your team can be in heaven. It can be saints in heaven. But you also need a team here on earth as it is in heaven, right? You need a team on earth. And ask God to give it to you, and he will. He will bring you the friends and the family that you need to be encouraged. I know he will. He is your father. He is the father of our family, and he will make it happen. We have to trust him. He's the father of mercy. He will bring it. And then the third thing you need to do to make an eternal impact, number one, pray and be connected to him who is eternal. Secondly, surround yourself with a team of good, holy people. And then third, you need to dream. you need to dream 10 times bigger than you dream. I think that God is disappointed in our dreams, in our aspirations, in our hopes. I think our temptation, and we don't even know that we do this, but we do it all the time, is that our goals and our dreams and our aspirations, we purposefully make them small and insignificant. And the reason we do this is so that we, in our own power, can accomplish them. You see, if you make a small, insignificant goal, you can rely on your own ability to achieve it. And that's safe. That feels safe. But if you dream big, if you aspire for something great, if you seek to become skilled and to make a huge, deep, eternal impact in this world, you're going to have to dream big, right? Like Mother Teresa, or think about something that John Paul did in his time, right? Huge. These are things that can't be done by our natural labors. So you must dream 10 times bigger than yourself, because when you do that, it humbles you. When you dream of something so big, so out of your reach, and you begin to pray about that, you tell God, God, I want you to work. Only you can accomplish this. I, left all by myself without you, could never even come close to this goal. That's why I'm dreaming a God-sized dream, a prayer that is beyond myself. Even if I could harness all of my own natural energies and gifts, I could not accomplish this. I think when we think that big, we begin to think and pray like St. Francis of Assisi or St. Dominic, right? Or any of the great missionaries. These were things like converting a nation, like St. Patrick in Ireland. He converted a nation. So many people. That was beyond him. That was not something that he could muster up on his own. But yet he had that desire in his heart. And God provided the graces and the influence and the supernatural skills to make it happen. Or look at Moses, right? Leading the people out of Egypt. All those miracles. You know, going to this world leader and saying, let my people go. Moses was afraid, right? It was beyond him. He even said that he's not a man of speech. Apparently he had a stutter. He was not a great orator. But God placed it in his heart, and he trusted God, and he acted in faith, and God accomplished the deliverance of his people, even through a parted Red Sea. And it made an eternal impact for all time. So those are the three elements of making an eternal impact. Number one, pray about everything, even the small incidental things. Number two, prayerfully find that team of encouraging, positive, saintly people. And by the way, if you're surrounded by people who are negative and are drawing you down and criticizing you and telling you you'll never be anyone, or that God doesn't love you, or judging you, you need to get away from those people. You need to get away. Or angry, or critical, or fault-finding, you need to get away from those people. And then third, you need to dream 10 times bigger than you're dreaming now. You need to have big goals. And it's going to scare you a little bit. It's going to make you a little nervous planning out those huge goals, but you have to ask God to anoint them and to bless them, and He will do the heavy lifting, not you. You just have to have the faith. All right? Now, some of you may be listening to this and you may think, well, you know, I'm more advanced, you know, further down the road in life, and I've really messed up, Taylor, and I don't think God's ever going to do anything in my life because I've committed some pretty bad sins. I'm a champion of mortal sin, and I don't think God's going to use me like you're saying. I want to challenge you on that. All right? You may have missed God's original plan, but He has another plan for you. I did a podcast on this, episode 21. Did you miss God's plan for your life? Did you miss God's plan for your life? I want you to listen to that podcast. It doesn't matter how much you've sinned, how much you've screwed up, God can create a new plan to get you where he wanted you to be in the first place, because God's all powerful and God is all loving and he can do it. You just have to trust him. So if you're that person who's thinking that right now, go back and listen to episode 21. Just go to taylormarshall.com. At the top of the page, click on weekly podcast and go to episode 21. Did you miss God's plan for your life? And I think you'll realize that there is so much hope left for you. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you have great hope. God is still going to use you if you just let him and you believe. All right, so that's our featured segment, and now we're going to go to our saint of the week, Saint Jose Maria Escrivá. All right, well, this week I chose Saint Jose Maria Escrivá. He's the founder of Opus Dei. I'm not a member of Opus Dei, but I have benefited very much from his three books. They're usually bound together, called The Way, The Furrow, and The Forge. And the reason I like it so much is because it's like Proverbs. You know that I love the book of Proverbs, and we do a proverb of the week every week here on the podcast. But Jose Maria wrote out these little short, like fortune cookie ideas, and he organized them according to topic headings. So, for example, The Way, which has been my favorite of his books, he'll have on character or the heart or sanctity, purity, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the glory of God, humility. And he has these short little bite-sized, like little sound bite pieces of advice or inspirational ideas. And I like to just keep it near me when I'm doing my mental prayer, because if I get bogged down and I start thinking about all sorts of stuff and lose my train of thought, I can just pick that up and look at these little sayings of St. Jose Maria. And if I need to, I can go to a certain topic, right? And he has these pithy, beautiful pieces of encouragement or challenges. Sometimes they are challenging. And it gives me something to think about and usually something to pray about and to talk to God about with my own life, where I'm either falling short or where I need to praise him or be more thankful. So I would encourage you to check it out. I'm not going to give you his bio or anything. You can look that up online. There's plenty of biographies. But his name is St. Jose Maria Escrivá, and the book I have is published by Scepter, and it has his three books of, quote, Proverbs, The Way, The Furrow, and The Forge. All right, well, all we've got left now is our Latin word of the week, and thank you for your patience with my voice. I'm sorry that I feel a little weak this week. But I just a reminder for all those who are members of the New St. Thomas Institute, this week we put up the 12 mystical actions of the Liturgy of the Holy Mass according to Thomas Aquinas. So Thomas Aquinas gives a mystical theological account of the old Latin Mass of his time. For example, why does the priest turn around five times to address the people according to Thomas Aquinas? That's because Christ appeared five times after his resurrection. Why does the priest wash his hands? Why is there incense? Thomas Aquinas gives a theology for all of that. And this week in the New St. Thomas Institute, we put out two video lessons on the liturgy, the Roman liturgy, according to Thomas Aquinas. So if you're a member, please check that out. And also coming up in the weeks to come, we have some video lessons on the attributes of God and also the new atheism and whether or not the existence of God is self-evident according to Thomas Aquinas. And we also look at Thomas Aquinas's five ways to demonstrate the existence of God. So lots of good things happening in the New St. Thomas Institute, and you can still qualify to be included in the Certificate in Theology. It's a one-year program. If you want to earn a certificate in theology, you can still do that. Go to newstthomas.com, newstthomas.com, and sign up. Okay, our Latin word of the week is imprimatur, imprimatur. This is often when you hear this word, it's often in reference to the printing of a Catholic book, right? A bishop has a book inspected, and if it's without error, it's given an imprimatur. An imprimatur in Latin means let it be printed. It's a present passive subjunctive, And it comes from imprimo, which means to impress or push into. Because as you know, before the digital era, books were printed. And actually the word printed comes from this word. Were pressed into paper with ink. And so the permission for a Catholic book to be printed was given the imprimatur, let it be printed. So there you are, the Latin word of the week, imprimatur. Okay, well, thanks so much for listening. And also, if you want to get that free book, Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages, it's an introduction to Thomas Aquinas. It's been helpful to thousands of people. It's been downloaded, I think, by 13,000 people, and it's yours for free. So if you want a free ebook, go to my website, taylormarshall.com. In the upper right corner, you'll see the book there, and you can just click there and put your email in there, and we will email you that free book. And also, if you enjoy this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating. You can leave a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star rating, and say something nice about the show. I'd really appreciate it. That helps other people find this podcast, to find good quality Catholic theological podcasts. So if you would take 45 seconds and head over to iTunes and rate this podcast, I would really appreciate it. The podcast continues to be immensely successful. More and more downloads every month, in getting close to 100,000. So thank you for that encouragement, and thank you for everyone who has already rated the podcast over at iTunes and has told their friends about it. I really appreciate you. It means so much to me. Thank you a million times over. Well, remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Novite tangere Christos meus.